and began to pick some ears of corn and eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what's unlawful on the Sabbath." He answered, "Haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests. Or haven't you read in the law that the priests on Sabbath duty in the temple desecrate the Sabbath and yet are innocent? I tell you that something greater than the temple is here. If you had known what these words meant, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." Going on from that place, he went into their synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Looking for a reason to bring charges against Jesus, they asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" He said to them, "If any of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Therefore it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." So he stretched it out, and it was completely restored, just as sound as the other one. But the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus.
Thanks, Julie. Good morning again. Let me pray as we look through this passage together. Heavenly Father, please open our hearts to hear you speak to us as we look at your word. Challenge us where we need to be challenged, but show us most of all the Lord Jesus and how good he is. We pray in his name. Amen. Jesus has covered lots of aspects of the Ten Commandments as he's been going through Matthew's Gospel, as we have as well. And I wonder what you make of the Ten Commandments. Most of them I think we take quite seriously. And if we cast our minds back to the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5-7, we probably ought to take them even more seriously, as we'll see in a minute from what Jesus says. Even if you're not a Christian, not seeking to live for and worship God, you'll be familiar and probably supportive of at least the second half of the commandments. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make yourself or worship an idol. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Fair enough, we say. And perhaps even we say fair enough to what Jesus says. This is what he said back in Matthew 5, verse 21 to 23. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, "Go, you shall not murder," one of the Ten Commandments. "And anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother, with a brother or sister, will be subject to judgment." Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, "Raca," is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, "You fool," will be in danger of the fire of hell. In other words, it's not just keeping the letter of the law that God is interested in, that Jesus teaches us. It is keeping the spirit of the law. It's about reflecting the very character of God. That's why he gives the law, to show us his character and to reveal ours. This is why Jesus, offering us forgiveness for our sins, salvation, is such good news, because even when we try, we often fail to live up to those sort of glorious and good standards. But what about the Sabbath? That's where we are today. That's what Jesus is being challenged on in our passage. Here's the fourth commandment in full from Deuteronomy 5:12-15. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. What does it mean to keep the spirit of the law? What is God's heart? What is his principle that comes out of this? Do we need to invent 100 careful rules to make sure we get the Sabbath right? A little bit like don't hate or be angry, otherwise you're guilty of murder. Don't even lift a finger on the Sabbath in case it's considered work. Well, you might think so. And that's exactly what the Pharisees did in the times of Jesus' day. They were careful, religious men, not wanting to break the law of God. In fact, they add 613 further commandments to God's law for the people of the time. Prepare all your food the day before so you don't have to even cook on the Sabbath. But for reasons that aren't, I admit, immediately clear, Jesus seems to think, and this is our first point, the Pharisees have the Sabbath wrong. Have a look at verse 1 and 2 of our passage in Matthew 12. At that time, Jesus went through the cornfields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick some ears of corn and eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath." It seems like a fair question, isn't it? What are the disciples doing? Walking on the Sabbath with the Lord Jesus himself, and they start harvesting corn to eat. How can they work on the Sabbath when Jesus is right there? But it's not just the disciples who are up to no good, according to the Pharisees. They want Jesus' blood again. So scan down to verse 9 of our passage. Going on from that place, Jesus went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there, looking for a reason to bring charges against Jesus. They, that's the Pharisees, asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" Surely Jesus, claiming to be the Messiah, the promised Savior of God's people, who elevates the law of God, doesn't diminish it or get rid of it, surely he of all people won't break the Sabbath by doing work and healing someone with a shriveled hand on the Sabbath. Well, yes, he will. But as he explains, it's not because he's breaking the Sabbath. They have got it wrong, but Jesus has a Sabbath right. To show them the truth about the Sabbath, Jesus then teaches them from two events in the Old Testament, and then he gives them a third principle from the Old Testament, and he takes it from Hosea chapter 6, verse 6, is on the screen. This is God speaking through the prophet Hosea, "For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, an acknowledgement of God, rather than burnt offerings." So that's the principle Jesus seems to then apply to these two references we see. So Jesus' first point seems to be that the Sabbath is for showing mercy and doing good. Have a look at verse 3 and 4 in Matthew 12. Jesus answered, this is when the disciples have accused of picking the corn on the Sabbath. "Haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests." Now, when you read of this account in the Old Testament, we don't have time to look at it all now, but it's in 1 Samuel 21, if you want to do some homework. David is running away from King Saul, and King Saul intends to kill David. It's a serious situation. And he's with a small band of men who are loyal to him, and they arrive at the town of Nob, and they are hungry and desperate, and they know they're literally going to have to be running for their lives the next day as well. So David goes to the priests and he asks for food, but the only food available, the only bread that is ready, is the consecrated bread from the temple that's reserved for the priests to eat, according to God's law. Nonetheless, without any condemnation in the text about this, the priest asks if David and his men have kept themselves holy, to which he says they have, and so he gives them the bread to eat. Jesus seems to be making the point that if even David, who is far less important than Jesus, can suspend the law of God, which is far more important than the Pharisaical laws in the New Testament. Sorry, emergency and crash. if David can suspend God's law, then surely Jesus can suspend the Pharisaical law. For what reason? For man, for preserving life. Surely Jesus' disciples, as we're about to hear, Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath, can eat picking corn from the fields if David can do this in the Old Testament. In other words, God's law is not designed to harm, but to save and to love. In other words, what's at the heart of God's law is showing us his character. His law reveals who he is and his desires for his worshippers as they seek to obey him. He desires mercy before sacrifice. There's the principle Jesus gives. A right heart before getting the letter of the law right. That's what Jesus has been teaching all along. Back to our example of murder, or not murdering, sorry, don't mishear that bit. Jesus makes it clear, doesn't he? Get your heart right, get your attitude right towards other people. Don't hate, don't get unnecessarily or easily angered. That is what the heart of the law says. And then the law of not murdering will fall into place behind that. And so David was right to save his men's lives by feeding them, because it was a merciful and godlike act to show mercy. So how much more can the disciples eat as the Lord of the Sabbath is here with them on that day? So we must be clear, Jesus is not dismissing or rejecting God's law. He's showing the backwardness of the Pharisees as they amplify their own laws, and instead he amplifies the deepest principles of God's law. They think God desires 613 extra rules added to the Old Testament law so everyone behaves right and ticks all the boxes. But Jesus is saying God desires everyone to think and love right, and the law of obedience will follow that. It's actually why in the New Testament Paul tells us that God's law in the Old convicts us of our sin. We could probably mostly tick a lot of the laws, like a tick box exercise in the Old Testament. But when we consider its principle, the character of God that it's showing, the explanation of it as Jesus gives it to us in the New Testament, we see that our hearts are sick. We may not have murdered someone, but how far are we from God's love and mercy and character? The Pharisees thought it was a box-ticking exercise, and so they became proud in themselves. How desperately they need a Saviour. How desperately we need a Saviour. To drill a point home, Jesus is posed with the next question later in the passage, as we saw. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? And he points out again the irony of their thinking further. So have a look at verse 11. He said to them, if any of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. It's such an obvious point. I don't really want to say much about it. Of course, even if an animal is in distress on the Sabbath, you're going to help it out. What kind of fool wouldn't? The Pharisees themselves, who valued their livestock highly, would have known instantly that Jesus was right. And yet they've turned the Sabbath into some kind of tortured rigmarole of discomfort and rules. So proud are they that they want to get it right themselves and tick these boxes, that they can't even admit their misunderstanding of the Sabbath. Their status relies on what they've been saying and teaching. And so they end this passage by wanting to murder Jesus. The Pharisees had the Sabbath wrong. Jesus had it right. It is for acts of mercy. It is for doing good. Jesus isn't just teaching about the Old Testament law here, though. He starts to reveal a little bit more about himself. So our second point, Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. Have a look at verse 5. Haven't you read in the law that the priests on Sabbath duty in the temple desecrated the Sabbath and yet are innocent? I tell you that something greater than the temple is here. It sounds odd at first, but I think Jesus' point is this, that in the Old Testament, even under the law of God, the priests would have to work on the Sabbath, for their duties were required for the temple. It seems like an odd point to make, that doesn't because it doesn't just obviously mean that everyone can now work on the Sabbath, because that's not what it meant then. I think what Jesus is saying is that now something has changed. Jesus is making a claim here. I am greater than the temple. And the implication is that just as the temple priests had to work on the Sabbath, so then my priests, Jesus' followers, his disciples as he walks through the field, well, they will have to work and do my duties on the Sabbath because I am greater. And it's not just silly rules that you've made up. My work is mercy and goodness, serving the Lord of the Sabbath. It's no longer going to be making animal sacrifices on the Sabbath to cleanse people of the sin, which was the priest's duties in the temples in the Old Testament. It is now pointing to people to the once for all sacrifice for all people who repent and believe in the Lord Jesus. It's the work of pointing people to the Lamb of God, the crucified Saviour, the Lord Jesus, Lord of the Sabbath. It's as if he's saying, the priests used to just do sacrifice, and that was work, and you're accusing me and my disciples of doing work. Well, now all of my people will work on the Sabbath because they will point to the once-for-all sacrifice. Observing the Sabbath law is then fulfilled in Jesus Christ. He replaces the temple himself. The laws are fulfilled in him, not abolished. The principles of them are elevated, not removed. And the Sabbath now belongs to Jesus. It's quite a claim he makes. And so now it's a day to serve and honor and remember Jesus, to do his work as new covenant priests under his salvation. I think that's how we make sense then when we go back to chapter 5, verse 17. Do not think I have come to abolish the law, says Jesus, or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. And then back to our passage for the Son of Man, verse 8, is Lord of the Sabbath. So just as it's right to work in the Old Testament as a priest on the Sabbath, it's now even more right, if you can say such a thing, to do Jesus's work on the Sabbath. Maybe it's a stretch, but I like the fact the disciples were walking and feeding with Jesus on the Sabbath. That is what the heart of the law of the Sabbath is, isn't it? To walk with Jesus and to be fed, to remember God. And this is now to be done in Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath. The Pharisees have people burdened. We saw that last week, verse 28. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened. That's what the Pharisees have done. That's what the world does. And I will give you rest, says Jesus. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and I will give you rest for your souls. How good the Lord is. The Pharisees reject him. But what will we do? And so at the end of the passage, Matthew 12:13, Jesus said to the man, this is Jesus' Sabbath, stretch out your hand. So he stretched it out, and it was completely restored, just as sound as the other. The Sabbath is for the Lord's work, to feed on him, to show mercy and goodness as he would. So what about the Sabbath for us then? What do we do with all of this today? We've hinted at some of it. We're not in a culture or a generation that puts too many rules on the Sabbath. Far from it. Perhaps, though, we're of a culture and a generation that has gone too far the other way and have forgotten the Lord of the Sabbath completely. We started with the Sabbath commandment from Deuteronomy, And there we are reminded that God designed the Sabbath for rest from our normal work that we do on other days. But it is not rest that means we can be lazy or self-indulgent or pursue all of our own pursuits. It is a rest that enables us to do something. So back to Deuteronomy 5:15, remember, that's what the Sabbath is about. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath. The spirit of the law is not that we mustn't turn on our ovens to cook, or that we can't play any sports, or that we mustn't turn on our TV. The spirit of the law is that we are to remember God's salvation. Remember God's saving grace. That's why we should prioritize attending church, reading our Bibles, praying, doing those things as a family, as testament to remembering what God has done. We're to feed ourselves with the Lord Jesus. It is a glorious day, and we miss the character of God when we serve ourselves rather than serve the Lord on the Sabbath. As we gather on a Sunday and corporately repent of our sins for not standing up to his law, as we share the Lord's Supper and remember all that he has done, as we worship him together, we remember God's saving grace. So we remember on the Sabbath. From this passage, I think we have to say we're to do the Lord's work on the Sabbath. Our second point. It's not healthy to work 7 days a week, as we see modeled by God as he created the world in Genesis 1. But the spirit of the law here is to make sure you have a day of rest from normal work to allow us to remember, but also to remember that we are now workers, priests, in the temple, who is now Jesus. We are to point people to the Lamb of God, who is greater than the temple by far. So we shouldn't fill our Sundays with other activities so we miss out on time with the Lord and our church family. These are not Pharisaical rules. These are gracious gifts from God to his loved people. If you like, the question is, where is our heart at about the Sabbath? Do we love Jesus and his church, or do we love ourselves? And if we love Jesus, we'll rest from our normal work and we'll find ourselves committing ourselves to the Lord Jesus, his work, and to his people. Now, it's worth noting, I know some people have to work on Sundays. I think this passage is helpful. Given Jesus' direct teaching here about showing mercy and doing good, of course we need our emergency and our essential services to work. You might have to work to provide for your family, and there's no other options. But beyond that, I think we need to be a little bit careful about what the heart of God is and what he desires that is best for us. It may mean that we look for different work so we can honor the Lord of the Sabbath. Equally, it might mean we play a little bit less golf. We perhaps commit to less social activity. We put down our social media. We turn down meeting up with friends. We miss out on certain things, but of course we're not missing out at all, because the character of God is his desire is to be do good for us. And we serve the Lord of the Sabbath. And then thirdly, we're to show mercy and do good. See, the Sabbath doesn't belong to us. It has a Lord. That's Jesus' point. It's changed now. And so the Sabbath is a day to put others first, to do the Lord's work, to feed those who are with you as the disciples pick the grain, to show mercy to those who are suffering as Jesus healed the man with the shriveled hand, to encourage and support our church family in spending time with them, to show hospitality, to visit those who are sick, to pray. The Sabbath is a blessing from God, fulfilled in Jesus, so that we can be more like him. There are rules to think about, but for the sake of showing us the heart of Jesus, not for the sake of tick boxing, use your Sabbath to change your heart to be like the Lord of the Sabbath. Use the Sabbath to hear Jesus say, as he did in last week's passage, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Let me pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we come before you in repentance, for we've read your law, and we've seen that we fall short, even in the tick-boxing exercise version, and we fall a long way short when we consider your character and your mercy and goodness. And so we praise you for the Lord Jesus, who fulfills the law for us, perfectly in righteousness and perfectly in character and mind. We praise you that we can come to him in repentance and faith and receive life, even though we don't deserve it. And so help us now. If we've committed our lives to you, help us to use a day a week to gather with your people, to walk with the Lord Jesus, to feed ourselves with him, to open your word, to encourage one another, to do mercy and to do good, so that we acknowledge and recognize the Lord of the Sabbath and become more like him in character each and every week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.